Hey, you guys, welcome back. This is your host, Andrea, with From Mrs. to Ms. We have a very special guest with us today. I'd like to introduce Angela Marshall. Thank you for joining me, Angela.
Thank you so much for having me. Hi, guys. Hi,
gal. I love it already. I love your spirit and your energy. This is great. So let me introduce Angela is known as AKA Author Stone. She is a powerhouse hailing from Augusta, Georgia. And as a motivational speaker, best-selling author, and creative consultant, she draws from her own journey of resilience to captivate audiences worldwide. Through her company, In Other Words by Stone, Angela empowers others with positive words and personal anecdotes, inspiring them to overcome challenges with passion and purpose. Beyond her professional endeavors, she's also a dedicated community advocate, a youth mentor, and supporter. You are busy, girl.
Well, my mentor would really get on me if I did not make the adjustment. I am productive. She likes to say, she likes to say that busy is kind of like on a treadmill. You're just going, but you're not really going anywhere. But productive is you're really out there, different links. Because I used to say that all the time to her. So, hey, kudos to Dr. Sharon. Sharon, I am listening. I am productive, not just busy.
I love it. I love it when there's words that can just change the dynamics of things. I think always of, you know, with dating, when we say I'm picky and then you change it to I'm selective. It's a little bit different, right? A little softer. So I love that because productive is better than busy. So that's great. I love it. All right, let's get started. Okay. So tell me how all this began. So I want to put it out there that you are a former NFL wife, which is very exciting. And you likely experienced a bit of a lavish lifestyle, right? So what prompted you to transition from that world to a new career after dedicating like 20 years to what you were doing, right?
How'd that get First, let me say that divorce is not a destination. It is a detour. So that's why when I looked at, you know, your podcast From Mrs. to Miss, it resonated within me because going from that lifestyle from, you know, being married to being divorced and then now dating, it's so challenging, but it's rewarding at the same time because it is affording me the opportunity to really look at myself and grow a whole lot more. So knowing that every phase in life affords you the opportunity, if you take it, to grow, it was such a pivotal point from that lifestyle, being a former national football player's wife, to, you know, going to entrepreneur, well, actually working, because I went back into the corporate world first, and now being an entrepreneur from 2016 to owning my own business.
Oh, got it. What a change. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was such a transition. And it's crazy how if you don't really define who you are and where you are in life and what you want in life, other people see your transitions and they do the narrative for you.
Oh,
so that was another reason why it was so imperative for me, because I got asked a lot, you know, why did you leave that life? Why did you leave him? And why, you know, or why are you now working? You went from this to, you know, now you're actually working a 12-hour shift. Like, I mean, I did all of that, you know, 9 to 5, I did 12-hour shifts. I did everything that I needed to do to be able to be in a position that I am now so that I can do what I want to do.
Financial freedom.
Oh my God. And so all of these, you know, people with their, what they thought I should be and do and have and not have and whatever, it was bombarding me, not necessarily hindering me, but bombarding me. And you have to fight through that. And that's one of the things that I want your audience, you know, and your platform members to know, that like you really have to go to battle with not just the out, you know, the external or outward appearance from Mrs. to Miss, but I mean, also the internal is so, you know, it's just so imperative.
Oh, I love that. It really is. And yeah, you have gone through all the phases, which makes it very exciting to talk to you. And I think you said you're dating now as well. I don't know if we're all happy about that. I talk about it all the time on my little dating stories, and I hate to be like the Debbie Downer on it. You know, I want it to be like a positive experience for the listeners and to know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. It's a little tough with the dating sites in the world that is today, but we're trying.
And if it doesn't work out the way that I want, I mean, there's more journey, there's more path, there's more lane.
So it's okay. So it's, don't give up because
It's just wasn't okay. The right path. It's okay. And that's why a lot of times when you speak about divorce, mm-hmm. people, the looks that they give you, or it's almost as if it's some sort of plague or something like, that's why I say divorce is not a destination. Yeah. Was it my first choice? Absolutely not. I mean, I didn't get married to get divorced. I was with this guy, my ex-husband, for some time before we got married. We have two incredible adult children. We have six incredible, powerful, wonderful grandchildren.
Wow.
So we have a good relationship now. I've been divorced almost 22 years. Wow. So I'm kind of like old school back in the day with the NFL and everything.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, life goes on and mm-hmm. you have to go on with it. You don't have to go on with it negatively or with a preconceived, like, okay, well, you know, it didn't work out with this guy, so now I'm gonna put this stigma and these stereotypes on future guys.
Right.
And no one should do it to us as well. But you know, it happens.
It's a choice, right? It's a choice to sit and dwell in your sorrow and what's happened and what's gone wrong. And it's a choice to get up and just choose to move forward and make a Absolutely. Difference, right? I love that. That's what you chose to do. So that's great. So, okay, I want to hear about what inspired the creation of your persona, Author Stone. Tell us about that.
Well, I've always loved writing. I've journaled and had diaries from, I mean, probably age 7 or 8, I guess.
Wow. Yeah.
So being able to actually earn an income, you know, have a salary, help other clients, because I also do ghostwriting. I do resumes. Oh. I write speeches for politicians and judges and lawyers, different, you know, wow. different people in different arenas.
Yeah.
So I think it was always inevitable that I become a writer. Mm-hmm. It's just that I took many detours because of life choices. So yeah. It didn't resonate with me until like later on when I left the corporate world. Mm-hmm. I can actually earn a living. Like I can earn an income being an author. So I, of course, penned my own books. And then mm-hmm. when 2020 with COVID, I had to figure out a different avenue to make money, because as my books, I would be getting, you know, I would get requests to speak on my books mm-hmm. and it became, you know, like nobody was reserving anything. They weren't asking you to come in person. So mm-hmm. then I pivoted to, oh, well, you know, maybe I can start doing some ghostwriting and help other people. Now I'm still in my married name, which is okay. Angela Marshall. But mm-hmm. my maiden name is Stone.
Ah, there it is. Yeah.
So the reason why I, pen under Stone is because I remember my grandmother would always say, turn stumbling blocks into stepping stones.
Oh, I like
and
that.
And so it resonated because, of course, last name is Stone.
Yeah.
And my business is, in other words, by Stone, because whenever I would be suggesting, you know, whether it was writing opportunities or just life advice to different people, mm-hmm. I would always say, in other words, this is what I'm saying. In other words, this is what I'm saying. So when I created my company and had the opportunity in 2016, I was like, I think I'm going to call it In Other Words and then utilize my maiden name by Stone.
Oh, I love that. That's great how that came about. I wasn't sure. So I love it. So, okay, I want to delve into some of the impactful quotes and motivational words that you have penned. One that particularly resonates is, and I really like this, and I'm going to actually read it twice just so people, because I had to read it a couple times myself just to really make sense of it, is when you define who you are now, no one can confine you to who you were then. So I'm just going to say it again. When you define who you are now, no one can confine you to who you were then. So can you elaborate on why that phrase holds such significance and speaks to so many people?
Across the board, we are, from little, we are a component and a conglomerate of other people, whether it's our parents, teachers, educators, whatever religion you may have, mm-hmm. if you're in sports, your coaches, whomever else. Other people are always putting their expectations and their standards on us and in us from little. So I really feel that going forward, as we start to kind of making our own life choices and our decisions, maybe blue is not my favorite color or green is not my favorite color. Or maybe I don't want to be a lawyer because my dad was a lawyer, my dad was a football player, my mom was a writer. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't believe this philosophy, I believe that philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just so important that as we really take a hard look and face ourselves, and I'm not going to even say that it's unfortunate, because of course, you know, there has to be some sort of discipline and rearing structure in place as we grow up.
Absolutely.
But there are just certain things in life that I feel like, you know, it creates a certain amount of happiness, joy, peace when you become and you define who you actually are. Now, the other piece of that is I've made a ton of mistakes. I've been very, very reckless. I'm sure as most of us are, with different choices, from being a rebellious child and a crazy teenager and young adult trying to find my way.
Yeah.
So the other side to that is as I am growing and evolving, I'm finding that people will approach me, and of course they knew the old age.
Yes.
Things that I've done. And they try to hold you to that.
I see.
So that's why I say, you know, they can't confine you to who you were then.
Yes.
If you are seated and you really know who you are now. And so the thing that I know about me now is just, you know, like, I'm a person who I value positive alignment. I value positive energy, positive vibes. I value, you know, being really optimistic as it relates to just making sure that I'm a part of the resolution and not the problem.
Right.
So it's just so very
different. Love that.
But the world will, oh my gosh, they will hold you under their thumb as long as they can remember when you did, or you know, you have this background. You can't, excel to XYZ, and it's totally not true.
Yeah.
Totally not.
And I was just going to say that, because I think sometimes people want you to stay down with them, right? Misery loves company. And so they tend to do that. They want to hold you down, or they want to keep you in that place, because somehow I think it makes them feel a little bit better, right? Because once you start succeeding.
They don't have to face themselves. So as long as I can shed the light on the awful things that Angela did back in her past, then nobody pays attention to the awful things that I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are finicky like that, and fickle, and our brains, like, I'm learning so much. I had a medical incident last year, and I've been reading a lot on the neuroscience of different things as far as like how the brain, why we react the way we do, the emotions, the mental, you know, connections and everything. And I mean, it is incredible when you really learn as much about your outer, about your inner as you do your outer, you are able to make a connection and just be at, you know, really be at peace with not, you know, being razzled when somebody does something that, you know, you may not agree with, or whatever the case is. Just like, I'm just going to let them be, and then I'm going to
do my own thing. Yes. And I think that's really cool, because a lot of us tend to just go with the flow. We just go through the process day to day, and we don't take the time to really look inside ourselves and all that stuff. And that's been a huge thing for me, even with this podcast and having guests like you on here. It's, for me, been like, incredible. Cause I'm like in awe all the time. I'm like, oh, I have questions. Right. Cause I'm just listening. I know. Cause everybody has their different perceptions. Especially, I talk to a lot of relationship coaches. That's always interesting to get everybody's feedback. And I just try to absorb it. So I think it's really great what you're doing and putting all that information out there. So cool. So, okay. So I've noticed a lot of your common themes in quotes and stuff on your website is related to a particular sport, football. Did you say your dad also played football? Did I hear you say that?
No.
No. Okay. No. It's just your ex-husband. Okay. So one of the phrases that you say on there, this was a really good one, is the closer you get to your goals and purpose, the harder it may be to score in life. Every yard gained is progress towards success. So how did your experiences as an NFL wife and being immersed into that world prepare you for like your current journey now?
Well, first I want to say that I absolutely love sports. I love people in sports, because it's such a reminder of wins and losses, because you're not going to win them all.
Right.
I mean, it's inevitable. You are going to fail at something. You're going to not, you know, kick the field goal or make the extra point or get the yard, whatever.
Yes.
And so I think because I'm in, an undercover athlete. I never played
sports. Ooh, I like that name.
But I think I'm an undercover athlete because I absolutely love the mindset behind it. Meaning, you know, okay, I came short or fell short on this particular situation in my life, but I'm going to get back up and try again. And that's one thing about sports, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, all of the sports, you know, they don't win the championships and the titles and even game by just regular season games all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't hear, oh, okay, well, you know, we didn't win this year, so Kansas City is not going to have a football team next year. We're going to give up.
Yeah.
So being able to understand is, I guess it's like the Charlie Brown analogy too. Okay. You get right there, you get the ball pulled from under you, but Charlie Brown didn't give up. He kept going. And so my mentality and my mindset has just been, hey, regardless of the downs in life or anything, obstacles, adversity, I'm just going to keep on facing it. I'm going to keep on trying, you know, until I take my last breath.
Yeah. Oh, you have such a great attitude about it all. And it's wonderful. And if you guys, you all are going to have to see her on video because she's beautiful and her smile is just so wonderful. She's a happy lady. okay. Yeah. So this quote is also my favorite. People pleasing, wearing masks, and submitting to societal pressure is like scoring for the other team and assisting them to win. That is deep. That is a good one. So sometimes to win in life, you must change your plays and your players. So people pleasing is a huge thing, right? Everybody's doing it. Why do you think so many individuals find it challenging to embrace their authentic selves instead of constantly people pleasing?
It goes back to one of the first questions that you and I conversed about. It is what is embedded and ingrained in us to be like whomever is in our, you know, is trying to impact us or influence us at that particular time. And we adapt, I think we adjust to who that person is.
Yeah.
So, and I think there's this, I believe there's this gray area where, again, as a child, yes, you know, you want them to be respectful and you want them to, you want to try to shape them and mold them into a really, really good being, into a good person, mm-hmm. a good student, son, daughter, or, you know, whatever. However, I also believe now in balance, like you have to allow people opportunities to chart their own path, even as little as 2 and 3 and 4. Now, obviously, if the child wants to play in traffic, I'm not, that's my disclaimer. Please, nobody, you know, don't type in ugly comments saying I'm this free thinker or whatever, because I'm really not. You're missing the whole point if that's what you're taking away from this.
Yes.
But I do believe that even now with myself, there are certain crossroads that I come to where it is like I have to be able to make that decision on my own. I have all of these amazing mentors. I have phenomenal people that support me, that encourage me, that give me, I mean, like they're subject matter experts in their own field. Sometimes I go to them, or most times I do go to them. And then there are times when I know that I have to forge that journey on my own.
Yes.
Because otherwise then I do become, you know, like my mentor, which she's great. And then the other two male mentors that I have, they're great also, but I can't get into the business of, as you asked initially about people pleasing, because ultimately I have to make sure that I am internally and externally making Angela happy.
Yes.
But that people pleasing, we all have done it. And I mean, I did it for so many years, a chameleon. I talk about it in my book, like it's so crazy because there's so many facets of that NFL or just professional athletes lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, different organizations, like you come and okay, well, now you got to adjust and adapt and be like this because they say this is the new it. And then that's the new it. I call it like, I don't know if you've ever seen The Wiz with Donna Ross and Mike. Okay.
Yep.
You remember when The Wiz say it's red and then everybody is red. And he's like, well, I changed my mind. Now it's green.
Yes.
So it's kind of like that. Societal pressures and trends and different things in life, you know, they set forth all of these things to make us into whatever it is that they feel is the hippest and the hottest and the latest and the greatest. But as we break away and we understand, okay, well, yeah, I'm going to take, because I do, you know, I like this value, or I do want this to be a part of my life as a moral, you know, my moral compass, and forge on that. But yeah. So many times it's just about, I'm just going to be like my best friend or the group or the clique or the connections or the organizations. I'm going to walk like this and talk. just be 100% authentic and free in who you are to make yourself happy first, not, you know, external people and things.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I think so many times it's the easy way, right? Just to be like, yes, 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 because you don't have to engage in confrontation. You don't have to change your ways or change anything you're currently doing. So I think it's the easy way, but yeah, we really implore people to like, just be your authentic self. If you don't want to do something, say no. I say it all the time with the dating stuff because I talk about sex on a first date. And I'm always like, no, no, no. It's given me like this anxiety about going on a first date because I feel like they're always going to want sex. Is it probably in my head that I'm overthinking it? Yes.
Yes.
But, you know, yeah, because they're probably not, but in my mind they are. And so I'm fearful of constantly that people pleasing and you just say yes, yes, when you really don't want to. So, because it's the hard thing to do, right?
Well, I will say this for me. I'm an avid communicator, probably too much. So before there's even a first date, and I do, and I know that it's all, you know, like you're trying to get to know people and you're trying to become friends first and, you know, all of that good stuff.
Yeah.
But there are like five questions that I ask right off the
roof. Ooh, I want to hear these. Come on. Give it to us.
There are these questions that I ask and I put in place because again, I'm not going to waste anybody's time and I don't want them to waste my time. So for me, the sex on the first date, that's a, you know, that's a
off
no.
The table.
So being able to talk to someone, if we're about to go on a, before we actually go on a date, it's like, how important is that? If that's what you want, don't even waste my time or yours, your money, my money,
yes,
my energy, your energy, because it's not going to happen.
So you to literally me, ask them before, like before the date. If
before
that's
the date,
what their game plan is.
I ask about the other woman in their life, meaning if they have baby mamas, baby mama drama, if they have you know ex-wives that are crazy or cuckoo, like what's going on with that?
Yeah.
I ask about mental, you know, their mental fitness, their mental stability. What is that like? Like, I mean,
are they even emotionally available? Right?
Absolutely. Are you working on that? So these are the questions that I ask. And yeah, does it scare away or probably weed out some of the guys back in the day? I don't care.
That's really the purpose.
Because those that, you know, really align with where I'm trying to go and with my dating needs and with their dating needs, we're going to mesh. So I just put it out there and it doesn't matter. Like I've had people to say, Angela, that's way too much. Like you just, you know, and I'm like, no, because here's what I will say. Most people don't understand that time is very, very precious and it is the only commodity in this world that you cannot get back. Everything else you can. I don't care if you lose friends, things, houses, cars, whatever, money, a job. You can, if you want to, you can get all of that stuff back.
Yes.
You cannot turn that clock, the ticks of that clock
right.
back under no circumstances. So I just feel like the more, especially if it's known, like if I'm just meeting someone out and that has already been established that, okay, we're just going to meet out for coffee, meet out for lunch or, you know, bagel or something like that.
Yeah.
And there's no, you know, potential for intimacy on a different level.
Yes.
I don't ask those questions.
Okay. That makes sense. That's good. Yeah.
I don't ask. But if like this person has come to you and is like, hey, you know, I'm interested, or if I'm interested in someone, and I'm thinking, well, maybe, you know, there could be a potential relationship up here. I'm asking those questions first because, again, I'm not getting dressed. I'm not getting in my vehicle. I'm not coming to meet you. I don't want you to come meet me. If there are too many unknowns, meaning, like you said, you know, if someone is expecting sex on a first date, or if someone, you know, wants an open relationship, that's another thing. That's
need
the
to
latest
know that.
And greatest, that's the great, latest and greatest thing. There are just certain non-negotiables for me. I don't have a list anymore.
Okay.
So I want to put that out there to your
like the checklist that everybody normally does.
I had to do away with that because it was too exhausting.
Yeah.
And not only that, like I have met some really, really great guys that did not have, you know, certain checkbox on my checklist.
Yeah.
And it was okay.
Yeah.
So I've done away with that, but the communicating as far as like just certain things that I know that I need and I would like to provide, you know, or give to someone else. Oh yeah, we're gonna talk about those.
I love it. She is not afraid to talk about that up front. I love it. So what, I don't know, kind of going on this, and we'll go back to my other questions, but just referring to that, like, what is your time frame on something like that? And you don't need to be specific about the sexual side, but like, what do you feel in general is a fair amount of time to invest in somebody before you maybe go down that path? You know, a lot of people it's all over the place, I know, but just kind of from your perspective.
Well, I think for me, it's just once we have established more of an intimate energy, mm-hmm. then that will happen. Whether that's 2 weeks, it could be 2 months, it could be 3 months. I don't know. I don't have, like before I used to say, oh no, you know, at least 4 dates or 4 months. And
right.
But you can't, for me.
Yes.
I was unable to categorize a particular time frame because I felt like sometimes I was shortchanging myself, and then other times I was shortchanging, you know, maybe the relationship or potential of a relationship as a whole. So I do believe that if you have as much open dialogue and communication as possible for the things that you know that you do not want to settle on. Yeah. Like if that is, you know, something for you, I don't want a man with children, or I don't want a woman, you know, who works all the time or whatever. Those non-negotiables need to be established early on, and then you don't waste time. So then to me, the intimacy as it relates to the energy, the true connection, not chemistry. Hell, I had chemistry with the barista at Starbucks. he's cute as can be. He's a phenomenal guy.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like my headspace now, we have chemistry. I have chemistry with a lot of people.
Yeah, you need the compatibility. However,
absolutely. But the intimacy, like the energy of it all, mm-hmm. that, you know, where you would want to take it to the next level with someone, because now I feel protected. I feel safe. I feel seen. Mm-hmm. I feel heard. I'm, you know, making him feel safe, seen, heard. And we're aligned.
I like
so
that.
So could that be 2 months? I don't know. Could it be 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
To whatever.
But one thing I do know is that, you know, I'm often in my meditation and my affirmation time, like I try to make sure that I have a really, really discerning energy so that, you know, like some people, they kind of peg your number and then they try to manipulate it.
Oh, yeah.
So I try to make sure, like, weed them out. If that's the case, like if I'm like being drawn in or being mesmerized by, you know, a charmer or narcissist or whatever.
Yes.
Please, you know, just, you know, for me to be able to just weed those type people out. And so far, I mean, it's been great, especially when you work hard on yourself. Mm. So it's not about the other person. And I think we forget that sometimes. 100%. Like, right. So the more I work on me, I become settled, I become seated, I become fit and whole and stable on me. Mm-hmm. I'm able to see a lot more,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially as it relates to that, whether it's deceptive or manipulative type, you know, type energy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's interesting because, you know, we get a lot of responses on that particular topic, but the one thing that is constant is to love yourself. And that is so true, right? And it's a law of attraction. Once you work on yourself and you take yourself to those different places, you're calm. You are like not afraid to say no to certain things. You then attract that same thing back instead of the other stuff. And it's interesting how it really does happen. It really does. I think it happened for me this year going into the new year. I got rid of some toxicity in my previous relationships. And I'm like, I don't want to bring that into 2024. And it was interesting to see how, oh, this is coming my way. And this, you know, it was really interesting. Yeah. I think it's very true. In fact, people really need to try it.
And it's not just about the relationships, like male and female or, you know, just relationships, but partnerships, friendships, kinships. The more you remove all of that toxic energy, and sometimes it is even, I think, like between our own ears, within our own selves. But again, there's that word growth, like growth evolving for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you do that, then it's like everything just kind of, you know, it kind of lines out.
Falls into place. I think it's great. Thanks for going down that little rabbit hole with me for a second there. I'll jump back into your autobiography, Reality, Two Rags to Riches. The story and life of an ex-NFL wife. You opened up about your journey through a seemingly glamorous yet ultimately unfulfilling lifestyle. So many, I'm sure, aspired to be in your shoes and live the life that you did. And you kind of shared that it was maybe not the ideal situation. So I guess if you can provide some insight into what your world was like during that time and maybe why it fell short of expectations.
Well, the first thing I want to say is the reason why I fell short is because I was not mentally and emotionally, spiritually where I needed to be. Okay. I was not seated. I wasn't ready. Because again, I met my ex-husband in high school.
Wow.
We had children very, very early. We were thrust into this lifestyle. I think we were early 20s, like 21, 20, 23 or so.
When he got signed, you mean?
Was undrafted.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I didn't have time to really be the person that I am now, or even think about becoming the person that I am now, because I was still, in that mesmerizing world.
Yeah,
of
caught up
being,
in the...
being what everybody else wanted me to be. Yeah. And now again, I've got all these other wives and girlfriends, or these other expectations, like, well, you're supposed to look this way. Your children are supposed to dress this way. You're supposed to be, all of this. And so it was just a lot.
Yeah.
But it was not the lifestyle, because that's my other disclaimer. NFL afforded us, National Football League afforded us phenomenal exposure to a lot of things. I mean, my children and myself, my ex-husband, we had an amazing life. We had an incredible life.
Yeah.
Just about every want was met, and meeting incredible people, doing incredible things along the way.
Yeah.
But I don't care what you have, how many commas and zeros, your address, your lifestyle, mentally and emotionally, if you're not intelligent or you're not seated enough, it's all miserable. That's why you have so many people. It's proven. So why you have so many celebrities or people in position of power that kill themselves. They commit suicide or whatever, because we look at it and we think, oh, this life is so, if I just had this, if I had that, everything would be so great. But when you're not stable and you're not fit in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, and in your body to really execute all of the things that, this life on this journey is throwing at us, or just the path itself, is all for naught. And that's how it was. That's how it was for me.
Interesting.
So I just had, a pivotal moment where I went to my ex-husband. I'll never forget it. It was November of 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I do not want, and he wasn't in the league, because his last year in the league was 1998.
Okay.
And I said, I do not want to be a wife anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want to be your wife. I'm not going to do the wifely duties. I don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, I didn't say, oh, because you did or you didn't do, or make it about him. It was just, I felt so like this huge void of what I needed to be, who I needed to be, what I needed to have in order for me to live.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Okay. Do you think that if you took the way you are now, the way you see life, the way you see everything, and you took it back to that period of time, do you think you would still be together? Or was that just, that's the journey you had to go through to get here?
No, he and I wouldn't be together because we're too, like, the way we think, we're not connected like that. That, I think just our attraction to each other, obviously we met in high school. It was, just trying to be, well, for me, trying to be fast and being attracted, because he's very handsome. He's still handsome. We're just going to go ahead and say that now. We're good friends now.
Oh, wonder. Okay.
But no, I think that who I am now, if I had an opportunity to be with someone or even with him in that lifestyle, I still don't think that I would be fulfilled because, like, now how selective I am with my energy, with my presence and my space, that world is a lot.
Yes.
You got a lot of people, whether it's, their thought process and what they put value on and different stuff like that.
Totally different.
Like, that's just, it just does not resonate with me.
Yeah.
So it would be very difficult. Even now, going into rooms, walking into rooms and certain events that I'm required to you know, to do and to be present at, it bombards my spirit so much. I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes I'm so drained of energy because so many people with these different.
Sucking it out of you.
Oh my gosh. You know, with the way that they think and they actually, you know, how they put value on certain things. I'm like, wow. Yeah. Now don't get me wrong. I think that success, you know, however you define it is great.
Yeah.
But to say that it's general and like it should be general for all, to me, that's, you know, it's a false statement. I'm there, I'm at a networking event or I'm at a, you know, professional athletes event or whatever, because I'm, you know, just want to engage in conversation or communicate, or, you know, maybe there's a service that I provide that somebody needs, or I'm going to help in a community capacity.
Yeah.
But, you know, the name dropping and some of the other things that kind of come along with that, or somebody's wearing the latest, like I've gone, let me tell you, I've grown so much. I will go to events now. And I think, I don't know if you can see, I need to get my nails, you know, and back in the day, I would have been like, oh my God, I got to try to make time and I got to try to get it perfect. I got to get every little strand of my hair. I got to be so.
And was that, you know, from the other wives mainly? Did you feel that? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I tell this one story where our son, because at the time I think Arthur was maybe five. Then he's 35 now, but I think he was five. And you know, little kids love the light up shoes, right?
Yeah.
So we were going to this event and Arthur, our son, had on some Ninja Turtle light up shoes. Mm-hmm. They had on like a little Nike tracksuit or whatever, but he wanted to wear his Ninja Turtle shoes.
Yeah.
So I let him put them on. And then when we were getting ready to go, my ex-husband, because at the time he did have a Nike contract,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, why is he wearing those, you know, why is he wearing those shoes? And I was like, because I mean, he's a kid and that's what he wants to wear. Our son was so, like, I eventually put the Nikes on him.
Yes.
But our son was so taken, like, he was so distraught because he really wanted to wear those.
Yeah.
But it's the persona and the perception, like, you know, well, now I think it's so high, like, you got the Gucci and the Dior and all of that. Don't get me wrong. I like those things. I have bought those things before.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, like this, a friend of mine, this is his brand.
The
pants that I have on, they're from Target.
Yes.
So it's a different
priorities.
It's a different mindset. Yeah.
Yes.
So no, sure. I don't think going back, like how I am not, I will probably be worse because I will be looking at everybody like, wow, I see the real you now.
Yes, through different lenses now. Yeah, completely different. So when you were in high school and you guys met, was he at the time, like, where was he in his career at the time? Was he, or like, how long after you met did he then become drafted or go into the NFL?
Well, I met him in high school and he was the it guy. So he was like the, you know, the quarterback.
So he was already really popular. Okay.
Already popular. And then he went on to the University of Georgia and he was a popular wide receiver there, highly touted to actually be drafted. Mm-hmm. But I think his junior year at UGA, he had a life-altering injury playing against LSU and he broke his leg in like two spots. And so even though he came back from that injury and then, you know, he adjusted his energy and he was able to still go to the combine. And even though he was undrafted, he made it, you know, phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, his mindset, that's one of the things. And I talk about that in my book, like my book or anytime I'm on interviews, have done interviews since 2016 about this journey. Mm-hmm. I don't talk, you know, in a negative way about him. There are a lot of things that we both did to each other.
Yeah, a lot of things you could say, right?
Absolutely. But his mindset and different things that I was able to glean from him as an athlete. And that's why I said, like, I appreciate athletes so much because they actually exude the, you know, fall down seven times, get back up eight. Mm. You know, they, I mean, like their resilience to keep trying. I'm going to win this time. I'm going to take home the prize this time.
Yes.
And then, well, maybe next season I won't. Maybe, you know, I don't get the, you know, the baskets to fall accordingly, or I don't get the touchdowns or whatever, but they never stop trying. And I just love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was always wondering that because I've seen, I don't know, certain couples Mahomes comes to mind, just of, you know, them dating in high school, they're their high school sweetheart. And then once they go into, you know, the NFL or whatever team that may be, and now they're earning big money. I always wonder what that dynamic's like to go from kind of nothing to all of a sudden this huge lifestyle that you weren't ready for, and where
it's a large changes. Swoop. Right. Yeah. It's a large swoop. However, what I will say is that, you know, maybe they're prepared for it.
Yeah.
Because you have to remember too, that depending on the dynamics of your upbringing, your childhood, your environment, mm-hmm. all of that, I think makes a huge difference. Now, Arthur, my ex-husband, mm-hmm. brought up two-parent home, like, you know, both successful. And just, I mean, he had, from what I understand, ever since 6 years old, like, he was so ambitious and driven and goal-oriented and, you know, good student, a great student. And just, you know, like, he knew very early who he was.
Oh, I love that.
Me, on the other hand, it was totally different. Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I was brought up two-parent home. However, it was my grandparents.
Okay.
And they did the best that they could. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they, like, I think sometimes, all you know is all you know. And so then yeah. you try to impart that into someone else, which is what they tried to do for me. And it just, it is a great foundation. Mm-hmm. However, there's a lot that I had to really just, you know, piece together from just being out in the world on
yeah.
my own.
Oof. Yeah. That would be a little bit difficult, I would think, to come into that lifestyle and just all of a sudden everything is so different. So that's amazing. So, I just wanted to kind of ask, because our audience, you know, mainly I always talk about, like, from going married to divorced and kind of reinventing themselves after and finding their way and their new life and everything. So why did you think, you kind of talked about this a little bit before, but maybe just reiterate why you felt you would resonate with the audience and what they can get from you in this situation?
Well, for one, I am divorced, 22 years. 22 years.
She's like, I know what that's like.
And I have just been so adamant and aggressive with trying to grow myself.
Yeah.
So it was just, to me, as I was browsing through different podcast opportunities and I saw yours, I was like, okay, this is one where I can actually, add some value and, impart some benefit to the listeners.
Yeah.
Going from being married to, you know, now I have to pay my own bills. I got to be my own provider. I got to be truly a single mom now, because like our children chose to reside with me. They were actually old enough to where they could decide, okay, but they wanted to stay with me. So they mm-hmm. did. Mm-hmm. And then getting back into the workspace, you know, the workforce, having a job and going from all that. It was a lot. And even now it's still a lot, because you'd be surprised at the boldness of some people that will ask me when they find out, because it's not like I'm at the, you know, I climb on the top of the roof like, hey, I'm an ex-NFL wife. Like, yeah. I don't do that when I'm in a setting.
Yeah.
So when people find out, they're like, and what are you doing now? Oh, what happened? You know,
yes.
It's a different thing. So it's like they look at you not being married anymore as if it's like you have COVID or like you have some sort of disease, you know, that's like a leper. This awful,
yeah.
Yeah, like this awful thing. And I'm like, hey, you know, it didn't work out. It wasn't my plan for it not to work out.
Yeah.
But I'm not just going to roll over and die and just act like, okay, well, this is the end of my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep on trying, you know, and trying to be better and do better.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is what we're wanting our listeners to do, you know, just to get up and do one day at a time, just try something new, try doing something for themselves, all of that. So just to finalize, what key advice would you offer them for navigating and transforming their lives after maybe facing these less than ideal circumstances? What few pieces of advice would you just give them straight up?
I would say, first, you have to decide. You got to make a decision.
Yes.
So, you know, in anything, that's the first step. So you decide, like, am I going to just be defined by divorce, mm-hmm. or if I'm going to be determined by divorce?
Ooh.
So that's the second D.
That's
so
good, Angela. That's good. I like
it. Hey, I'm a wordsmith.
You are. I like it, Author Stone. Go on.
So it's decide, determination.
Uh-huh.
And then you got to deal. You know, and a lot of us, we don't like, when I make a decision, if I just say, okay, I'm going to not eat chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
And then I go to this place and it's like, oh, and my favorite chocolate chip, or my friend brings me chocolate chip cookies. You have to deal with whatever is right there in your face.
Yes.
That you know, that you've made the decision that either you're not going to do, or you're going to do, or you're going to be, or you're not going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that third one, because of course, you know, I can make a decision. A lot of people are determined. A lot of us are determined, but the different obstacles and the stumbling blocks that come with that, usually that's when people fall off.
Yes.
Oh, it's too hard. It's too this. Oh, I'm too tempted or whatever. But you have to deal with, and you have to aggressively deal with every obstacle, you know, anything adverse that comes in your way as it relates to, okay, now I'm going from being married to divorce, and then, you know, maybe getting back out into the dating game at some point. But I think turning that lens on yourself and just understanding why, you know, there needs to be some sort of growth or evolution for yourself, because it's not all about the other party either. And I really think that if I had made it all about my ex-husband, I would not be who and where I am today. So being able to decide, having the determination, and then dealing with everything to make sure that the desired goal, whatever that is, I'm going to be more peaceful within myself, you know, as a divorcee, or I'm going to, you know, make myself into this, you know, amazing being, so that when I do get back out into the dating game, I'm more stronger mentally. I'm more stronger, you know, emotionally or just financially, whatever that needs to look like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's facing it and dealing with it.
Oh, I love it. The three Ds. So decide. What was the second? Decide.
Determination.
Determination and deal.
And deal.
Love it. Those are great. Got to deal. And you just got to take things as they come and fight each one as it comes and know that it's never always going to be the perfect outcome, right? But you never know unless you try. That's what we say. Oh my gosh. I love having you here. Thank you so much for coming on my show and talking all about this. It's so helpful. I think just for people to hear certain things over and over, you know, when things all of a sudden click for whatever reason. And that's why I love having such a diverse group of guests come on, because you never know which one is going to resonate with somebody. So I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. Before you go, I have a little fun game that I like to play. It's called From Mrs. to Ms. Fun Facts. It's just kind of like a would you rather. So just whichever comes to mind. There's 10 questions. The first one, would you rather an adventurous date exploring a new city together, or a cozy night in with a homemade dinner and a movie?
Cozy night in.
Oh, cozy night in. She likes that. Okay. If on a deserted island, would you rather sunset skinny dip or a midnight beach bonfire? It's a deserted island.
Sunset skinny dip.
I like it. Yes, ma'am. It's the only time we're just stripping it off and going in. Number three, an unforgettable first date, but no second date, or a mediocre first date that leads to a long-term relationship.
Unforgettable first date.
Just to have that moment, whether it goes anywhere or not.
Because the mediocrity, like my mind is just not geared for mediocrity. Less than, or it's just not. So even though, like you say, you know, mediocre and then lunch, my brain would not allow me to even allow it, because it would tell myself, oh, the energy was not worth it.
Yeah. So the long-term relationship is probably not worth it either. Okay. Number four, future plans or present moments?
Present moments.
I like that.
Always.
Always. Live in the moment. Put the phone away and just be there, right? Number five, blindfolded surprises or playful role play?
Ooh. Probably playful role play.
I love it that you said that.
I don't know about
the blindfold. I knew you were going to say that.
I don't know about the blindfold. I like to see.
I like to see what's going on. I don't need to touch it all. I want to see. I like that too. Really gotten into the role play, but I think that sounds fun. I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know what I'd be or what I do, but I'm gonna try it soon.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay, number six, date someone who shares all your hobbies and interests, but as different values, or someone with similar values, but few shared interests.
Ooh, similar values.
Yeah. Important, yeah, right?
Similar values. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's important because the hobbies, you can go do your own things and still come back to be one, right? But the values, if those aren't intact, that can lead you down the wrong path, I think.
Oh yeah. That's frustrating. Been there, done that. That's frustrating.
Yeah. That's a good one. Okay. Number seven, soft whispers or lingering touches.
Soft whispers. I'm a words person. So of course,
That's right. That's right. You are. Okay. Number eight, freedom with limited connection or a deep connection with compromises.
Deep connection with compromises.
I think compromise is huge in a relationship. And I think people tend to mistake that for settling at times, right? It's not necessarily settling. Sometimes it's just a compromise and you're getting other things. Number nine, slow dancing in the living room or spontaneous dance moves in the kitchen?
Slow dancing in the living room.
Oh, I like that. Everybody else.
I'm not a cook or a chef, so I don't really do a whole lot in the kitchen.
She's like, I'm not in the kitchen, so we're in the living room eating takeout and slow dancing.
Right? Oh my God. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Oh no, I love that. No, you're not. Number 10, a romantic getaway. Would you prefer a luxurious beachfront villa or a secluded mountain cabin?
Ooh, luxurious. What'd you say?
A luxurious beachfront villa.
Yeah, that's your jam.
Out in the water. I love that too. And you probably had a lot of that. So that's a really good answer because you know what you like.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that is so amazing. Please share with my audience where they can find your books, where they can find you on social media. Give us all the good stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me. This was probably definitely top three of all podcasts since I've been doing this since 2016. And
I'm humbled. Yeah. Thank you.
Phenomenal. I mean, it really is. And so therapeutic for me and needed. And I hope that I have definitely, gave some good advice.
Yes, ma'am. I love it.
For all of you Googlers out there, you can Google Angela Marshall, Augusta, Georgia, or you can Google Angela Marshall, ex-NFL wife, and that will, prompt some links and whatnot. Mm-hmm. My website is www.inotherwordsbystone.com.
Okay.
And I am on social media on all of the handles and all of that. Now, from time to time, I do take breaks, which I'm actually on a break right now. So I did, at the end of 2023, I told myself I was going to do 90 days of no social media whatsoever. Nice. And just to, kind of
re-energize
back to myself and then some other things that I needed to focus on professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And not that the social media was hindering me, but it was just, I just needed to take a break.
Good for you. We tend to get so caught up in it. Yeah.
I am on social media. So if they just Google Angela Marshall, or once they go to my website, they'll be able to see all of my social media handles as well. So
wonderful. Well, thank you once again for joining us. And thank you to the listeners for joining in, and hope that you will go and watch the video. We'll be on YouTube. We'll have some clips out. You can find me at from.mrs.to.ms on any social media platform. And you can email me at info@frommrs.to.ms.net. So thank you. We're going to tune out here and have a great day, you guys, and a great week. Thank you. Bye-bye.